lock and load. This is Steve Dace. The Steve Dace Show.
And greetings. Happy Friday. We've got a jam-packed show for you today. Of course, the Dace Group coming up here in just a matter of moments. Blaze TV contributor Jill Savage will be joining us for that. So we look forward to hearing and seeing her in just a few moments. Also, Feedback Friday, including we got a note from one of the police officers involved in the Tulsa shooting. And that has gotten no news coverage. Isn't it odd that healthcare workers being attacked? We had a church shooting here in central Iowa last night. And there has been no attempt by the major media to turn those events into cause celebs. Instead, it's only when this happens at the schools. Which just goes to show you that this isn't about gun safety. It's about an agenda. And whatever was the motivation for a church shooting, I mean, they hate the church anyway. And then it was a black man who did the shooting in Tulsa, so that doesn't fit the narrative. It was a white guy that did the worst shooting ever in Vegas back in 2017, but those were mostly straight white people at a country music concert. So again, doesn't fit the narrative. Has to be a very specific target that can be politicized for a disarming agenda. And that's why they even pick and choose the tragedies that they will attempt to politically monetize and message. So we'll get into his note and more coming up on Feedback Friday a little bit later on. Of course, you know, I am Steve Dace. He is Todd Erzin. He is Aaron McIntyre. We've been telling you about a new partner we have here on the show, by the way. Viciously Loyal is a new line of clothing. And this stuff is so cool. I'm actually, for the first time on the show, wearing their gear. It almost makes me look presentable. Almost. Almost. So just imagine what it can do for you, for those of you that other humans may actually find presentable to look at, all right? It is a long line of clothing and swag produced by a long line of servicemen and women who choose to be servants to their community and have lived their lives with purpose in everything they do. And it's all made and printed right here, even designed right here in the USA. So if you want to take a look at what they have to offer, check them out at viciouslyloyal.com. That's viciouslyloyal.com. All right. And you can see if you get a shot at my shirt there, some of the values that they are trying to uphold. And that's why they are marketing and promoting on a show like this. Viciouslyloyal.com. And then use my name, Steve, as a discount code at checkout to get 20% off your new Viciously Loyal gear. And now it is time for the Dace Group. And there she is. We welcome Jill to the panel as we begin with your weekly look at the week that was with issue one, Bleep, Lord Nefarious Says.
Trans people don't transition for athletics. We transition to be happy and authentic and our true selves. Transitioning to get an advantage is not something that ever factors into our decisions.
This is not Leah Thomas's fault. It's really the woke world that's out there right now gave Leah Thomas the ability to honestly take away medals from other athletes. She played by the rules, but my beef has been with the NCAA. They've got to harden these rules because the NCAA should be out to protect women's sports.
I'm just trying to start by getting to the truth, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really uncomfortable with that language of, like, getting to the truth. Again, in social
life. Why is that uncomfortable?
Because that, it sounds actually deeply transphobic to me. And if you keep probing, we're going to stop the interview.
If I probe about what the truth is?
You keep invoking the word truth, which is condescending and rude. I'm saying to you,
how is the word truth condescending and rude?
Why don't you tell me what your truth is, and you're walking on 30 seconds more of thin ice before I get up.
Male gametes. That's what makes me male.
No, your sperm don't make you male.
Then what does?
It's a constellation.
In reality, in truth, okay?
Whose truth are we talking about?
The same truth that says we're sitting in this room right now, you and I.
No, you're not listening.
If I see a chicken laying eggs and I say that's a female chicken laying eggs, did I assign female or am I just observing a physical reality that's happening in the world?
Does a chicken have gender identity? Does a chicken cry?
We're introducing legislation to implement a national freeze on handgun ownership. What this means is that it will no longer be possible to buy, sell, transfer, or import handguns anywhere in Canada.
You will not stop us from advancing the Protecting Our Kids Act today. You will not stop us from passing it in the House next week, and you will not stop us there. If the filibuster obstructs us, we will abolish it. If the Supreme Court objects, we will expand it.
Mandates should never be an excuse for not empowering the American people with the knowledge that they need to understand why masks work and why they should be used in certain situations. And I think sometimes we use mandates because we don't want to take the time to explain the science and the data and really have people understand who should be using them and why they should be using them.
COVID is now a leading cause of death in Australia, with a warning: an alarming number of people are falling victim to the disease. It's prompted fresh calls to mask up as we head into winter to reduce the strain on the state's health system and save lives.
All right, let's get to the first question. Jill is the guest, and because we believe in chivalry here on this show, so ladies first, what was the strongest scent of sulfur you detected while watching that montage this week?
Well, 1A is Justin Trudeau trying to take away the handguns up in Canada. I believe that they lasted 70 days for the Shanghai lockdowns. And we've seen so many videos coming out of China where they felt free just to bubble wrap you up and duct tape you up and put you into the back of a van and take you who knows where. But 1B in that montage was out of Australia with the COVID talk and the narrative coming back. I mean, I have COVID right now. I can't go outside right now. Like, I'm totally cool. It's my second round of COVID. But what they're trying to do still, it's unreal in my mind that they can't look at COVID where it is right now as a minor cold and inconvenience. And they look at the numbers and after the vaccines and they're saying, oh, there are more deaths now than ever. But they can't objectively look at the truth and question, why are there more deaths now after the vaccine than we had before?
And all the reasons why and all the potential answers to your question are bad. All the potential answers are bad. Todd, what about you?
Well, this one was the Kobayashi Maru, by the way. There's no correct answer on this. You can't say which one is obviously correct. That was unbelievable insanity that if the Founding Fathers turned it on, honestly, they would just like, do you have nukes? We hear you have nukes.
We've made a Drop horrible mistake.
Yes.
We have made a horrible mistake. Yes. And now that we have leverage, all right, we kicked the redcoats out. Now is a great time to renegotiate with the crown. Yes. We have leverage, yes. And let's rethink this entire thing. Yes.
Here, I have two parts I'm connecting together. It is Tom, Leah at the beginning, and just this is me just wanting to be happy. And then it's blue hair, Dr. Gender Chicken.
I believe she's a tenured professor at Brown.
Yes.
I think I read.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Who she says, do chickens cry? That's everything. And it's not just on the gender issue. It's on everything that we just got done talking about with Jill on can they look at this objectively. It's all emotive. All of it. If a chicken cried, of course, everything the chicken said would matter. And in their particular magic, if the other chicken who didn't cry didn't like it, tough. See, that's the amazing magic of all this thing. It's only the happiness of Tom, Leah to go in and do whatever he wants and throw his junk all around the women's locker room. But the happiness or the crying of the girls that are already on the swim team, this is where, you know, Bruce Jenner, screw you. He followed all the rules. No, he didn't. He's a guy. And by extension, if I may piggyback on yesterday, screw you, Sean Hannity, for even hamming him on. This is what you have to understand. The emotions of all the girls on that team don't matter. Only the emotion of the most deranged lunatic you can find in any situation matters.
Correct.
Correct. Understand that, Matt.
That's demonic.
If you don't, get the hell out of the way. Go do whatever you're going to do. But you're as big a part of the problem because you fundamentally do not understand that these are terrorists. Their C4 is babble like that, and we take it.
Yeah, the teammate of, as we saw yesterday, that Matt Walsh interviewed, the teammate of Will Thomas said, for complaining or for sharing concerns about locker rooms, they were the ones that were given the psychiatric evaluations, essentially. Mm-hmm. They were the crazy ones in that scenario.
I know Jill wasn't here yesterday. I don't want to reiterate that the whole 15-minute rant on this I went on yesterday. But since Jill was not here, you know, I pointed out yesterday, Jill, that the idea that we somehow use Bruce Jenner's psychosis as a weapon to push back on the psychosis, when in reality, no one at Fox News has proven that they are really good at hiring hot chicks to read conservative or baseline low-lying fruit GOP talking points off a teleprompter. They have perfected that over the last 25 years, okay? How many hot chicks right now are more deserving of the role and title of GOP, Freudian slip, Fox News contributor by just reading the GOP talking points that they load up on the teleprompter, Ron Burgundy style, okay? How many more are now unemployed because a guy pretending to be a woman took their spot? Because no one at Fox gave a damn what Bruce Jenner thought about anything until he flirted with the idea of cutting his sack off. No one cared. No one thought about it till he overdid the mascara and did the literal bearded lady act. He was on no roster, no guest. No, he was never booked to come on and tell the world and Fox News's audience what he thought about any matter whatsoever until he gave himself over to his own gender dysphoria psychosis. So he, in and of himself, his role on Fox News is taking an opportunity away from someone who is far more qualified for that gig than him, but just lacks his psychosis. So what's the moral high ground there, Jill?
First of all, I watch the show every day, Steve, so I definitely heard what you said yesterday. But when I look at this, we're told that being a woman is special and there, you know, all these gender equality and women should be paid as equals. And there's this whole feminist movement. Well, if a man can just say that he's a woman, then what inherent value is there in actually being a woman?
Exactly.
You're taking away the argument by simply saying we have to believe you if you just say that you are. And now they're trying to say, you know, 4-year-olds can say that they are, you know, male to female and female back to male. When have we ever listened to children and believed just what they thought? And then we project that on through adulthood, and we used to call it mental illness. At some point in the last 5-10 years, that has stopped, and we have now said, okay, as a society, this has now become mainstream because, like you're saying, it's right there on Fox News in your face every night.
Aaron, your turn.
So my worst of the worst this week was that purple-haired lady. Now, it's not actually a clip that's in the montage, but Matt Walsh features her 3 or 4 times in his documentary, What is a Woman?, which you should definitely watch. And every time, except for maybe the last or second to last time, that version that you just saw in the montage is what she is. Gender is a constellation. You're not listening. Can chickens cry? And then the conversation turns to puberty blockers. And then there's a specific drug that is given to children to help them block their puberty. What it also does is it chemically castrates them. Mm-hmm. And all the while, she's going like this, just kind of all tippy-dippy. Walsh asks her, you're giving this drug, which is known to chemically castrate. And immediately she's, what? No, we got to end the interview. That's my worst of the week. Because I still think, even in the confidence of belief in their nonsensical worldview, even within all of the confidence that you see on a day in and day out basis, there is still something there that recognizes, yeah, what we're doing is still pretty effed up.
Yeah, they know.
They know what they're doing, and that's my worst of the week.
Absolutely. They're, as Paul says, without excuse. Yes. Exit question. Jill, I'll start with you. Do you find New York accents sexy? Paul Alexander demands to know.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. My teleprompter failed. We'll move on. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being the odds that Hunter Biden did not smoke crack with any pole dancers this week, and 10 being the odds Lindsey Graham did smoke some pole this week, rank this week's level of total depravity, Todd.
10.
I was actually going to be far more vicious after what he has been saying the last 24 hours. So that was me toning it down. Aaron?
Yeah, if you want to get an AR-15 or ever wanted to, now is the time. 10.
Jill?
10.
Before we get to issue 2, let me tell you about our friends over at My Patriot Supply, because the next time it happens here, it couldn't happen here. Happens here. Make sure you're ready. It could be the food supply. That's why right now they're offering you $150 off a 3-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply, America's largest food preparedness company. They've got you ready. No supply chain issues. 3 square meals a day, including snacks and drinks for everyone in your household. Over 2,000 calories a day. So you will get all the nutrition you need. It lasts for up to 25 years. With proper storage, and it's yours today for $150 off plus free shipping. $150 off plus free shipping. Don't wait any longer. Head over to preparewithdace.com. That's where you get this discount from My Patriot Supply at preparewithdace.com. All right, let's get to issue 2. Pride goeth before the fall.
The U.S. Space Force tweeted a picture of an astronaut on the moon holding a rainbow flag emblazoned with the words "Queer Space." Men's bathroom product line Every Man Jack tweets a graphic which reads "Groom with Pride." The online publication Fatherly tweets, "Pride parades and the pride festivals that follow are noisy and crowded. They're filled with sights that may be new to kids, like public nudity and kink. So is it appropriate to take your young kids to Pride?" The article linked is titled, "Yes, Yes, You Should Take Your Kids to Pride." The U.S. Marines tweet a picture of an infantry helmet with 6 bullets colored with the colors of the rainbow flag. Just a few examples from the first few days of the month our culture sets aside to either glorify and or bow the knee to the rainbow jihad, a movement which originally consisted of homosexuals who insisted they were out for visitation rights and tax benefits of those with traditional marriages, now has turned into a month-long festival of unabashed debauchery, and you'll be made to care.
So let's have a philosophical question to start this off. Todd, I'll start with you. Does the debauchery, such as Pride Month, cause the fall of a culture or signify a culture is already fallen?
The latter. And something you and I just got done talking about off air is the perfect example of that. We wouldn't have necessarily known it a long time ago, but once men wouldn't do Ron DeSantis things, and that's what's been happening for a long time. We were just talking about what he just did with telling the Tampa Bay Rays, no, you don't get a new stadium because you want to take guns away from people. Like, everybody else thinks you can hush tones and triangulate and meet in the middle. No, this guy just, once you just will not man up like he did in every way of life, it's gone. And you're going to end up at something like this sooner or later. I think it's just so abundantly obvious. There's not some clever calculus. This is not advanced math that Ron DeSantis is doing. He's just saying, I'm going to tell you the way of things. He's Wyatt frickin' Earp. That great scene in Tombstone when Billy Bob Thornton's running the casino and there's just no men, and they're just terrified. And one Kurt Russell walks in there and I think, here's the rules. You're you and I'm me. And I win. You realize that right now. Otherwise, your life gets very, very hard. That's Ron DeSantis. And it's beautiful. It is beautiful. And that's why it's not, trust me, if there's a bunch of men around, Drag Queen Story Hour doesn't have a chance. That's the math of this.
Aaron, what do you think?
So I think this is, of course, the answer to this question is yes, to some degree. I do believe, though, when it comes to total depravity, there is total, as we've talked about, and utter depravity. I always believe there's more slope to slip. Always believe there's more slope to slip. Because do we have any indication that we're running out of slope? No. we haven't. There's no indication of this slowing down anytime soon. So in terms of actually, you know, answering the question, I think it's a culture that is falling. That is falling and not completely, because I don't think you can completely fall when it comes to sinfulness. And by the way, I said something in that intro at the end. It has become a month of debauchery. No, it has not. Okay. It was always this. It was never about visitation rights and tax benefits. It Correct. Was always about the debauchery.
Those were always lies.
It was always lies. Yeah. It was always lies from the pit of hell. And it has not become that. We've just gotten more accepting of that.
Jill, what say you?
It's a culture that has already fallen, and we live in a post-truth world. You saw with that clip from Matt Walsh and the professor in What Is a Woman? And he, you know, the professor's like, but why do you want to know what a woman is? He goes, because I'm looking for the truth. Mm-hmm. And the professor goes, yeah, but why? You know, like, to me, that signifies everything about the whole movement itself. But why do you care? Well, because one side still cares about the truth. If we were still in a falling society, adult teachers wouldn't be looking to their children to justify their actions, their beings. We see it all the time with the libs of TikTok videos now and saying, oh, I'm going to come out to my class today. When I was growing up, we knew nothing about our teachers, and that was totally fine. But it's so backwards, everything in society now. And we need adults to stand up and be adults, that it has always been true. It will always be true that whatever you change on the outside is never going to change who you are on the inside. Everybody goes through junior high and high school and they feel like they don't belong, and they want something bigger and they want a group to be a part of. And now kids are turning to the internet, and that group is saying, hey, go through and transition and it'll be everything that you've ever dreamed of. But what we know is every time that, you know, socialists come about, transgenderism comes about, any time that utopia is promised, it will never mm-hmm. come through on that promise. You're still going to be as broken as you were before. And it's going to be, you know, that much worse because you've done irreversible damage to yourself.
Very eloquently stated. And I think that we need to make sure, I don't think we should pull our punches on this whatsoever. But I also think we need to broaden our perspective, because who's being caught in the web of this? Who's being caught in the web of this demonic deception? Are young people who, as Jill pointed out, go through a period where they feel lost, and we've got all this interconnectedness in our culture right now, and people have never felt more alone on a lot of scales than they do right now, because all this interconnectedness is largely, it's largely superficial. It's largely about who you are on the outside, not who you are or what you stand for on the inside. And that just doesn't fulfill you on any level whatsoever. And we are all, what did Blaise Pascal mean when he said, we're looking to fill the God-shaped hole in our heart? He was referring to the idea of unconditional love, ultimate identity and purpose. Why am I here? Does anybody truly love me no matter what? Is there anybody that will truly not fail me? That's what he was referring to. And so you go through this point and process in your life where maybe you feel lost like this. And along comes this group, online, of course, in most cases, or in the schools, in the rest. And what they seem to offer is a counterfeit version. It's just you don't recognize it at first, of that unconditional love. You are feeling, you're mistaking acceptance and affirmation for unconditional love. And they're not the same thing. My kids will tell you when they're wrong, I will tell them and right to their faces. I've never stopped loving them unconditionally, ever. And there is nothing they could do that would cause me nothing to not. But there's all kinds of things they could do that I would not accept and affirm. And because they're kids, and even though they're adorable, they're little sinners, I haven't. And so we mistake the affirmation and the acceptance for the fulfillment of that God-shaped hole in the heart. And it's not until we become too reliant on it now that the connection is too deep that the true cost is revealed. The demonic Faustian bargain is revealed. Now, all you've got to do to take this to the next level is mutilate yourself. That's baptism. That's your outward sign of devotion, your outward expression. Mutilate yourself. Scar yourself. This is very dark. It is very demonic. And the people that are caught in its throes are very desperate and need a lot of help. Let us not forget that while we're calling the darkness for what it is. Let's get to the exit question. If the odds that pedophilia will soon be added to the LGBTQFU letterhead, if those odds were a Loverboy song, which Loverboy song would it be? A, Turn Me Loose, B, Loving Every Minute of It, or C, The Kid Is Hot Tonight? I can answer this question for you guys.
Well, you did. That's the most Dacian thing ever. You gave us no options. Because
they're all yes.
Yes.
It's absolutely on the horizon. I mean, I'll save you guys. You guys want to comment on those choices? Anybody disagree with that?
No.
No.
Nope.
And let me tell you, there's only one thing that will stop it. Only one thing that will stop it. And it's what you said earlier, brother. It is the men coming forth and saying, here's how this is going to go. I win, or we win, and y'all lose. And it won't go any other way other than that. Just so we're clear on that. That's the only thing that will stop it. Nothing else will stop this from happening. Other than the men will come forth and they will say, here's how this goes down. Only one of us is walking out of here with our worldview intact. And I can promise you, that's going to be me. So do the math from there. Nothing short of that will work. We are not a nation of laws, and we never have been. We are a nation of political will, and we always will be. The Declaration of Independence didn't declare anybody or make anybody free. The next 6 years of Revolutionary War did. Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863. They were still doing bus boycotts in the South for civil rights in the early 1960s, 100 years later. Because proclamations don't secure any freedom or wholeness or righteousness. Non-compliance does. Non-compliance does. And the spirit of the age, I promise you, will deploy every evil that we will not comply with. It will not stop on its own. It will not show any restraint on its own. It will do everything you can imagine and things you wouldn't dare unless we say no and then show that we mean it. More in a moment. I will try very hard to not ask you to directly donate to something that I have not directly donated to, and that's why I have no issue asking you to consider donating to our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. They represent all of their clients pro bono, which means they need tax-deductible donations from people like us in order to keep that mission going. Our family has made a donation to ADF because I've seen firsthand, up close and personal over the years, how effective they are in defending our constitutional rights in court all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. You never know when you or someone you know might be the next Jack the Cake Baker, right? Or you're a parent who is being told, no, you can't stop us from experimenting on your child. You have no such rights to look at the curriculum we want to inculcate your child with. They defend your constitutional rights, and they have a very good track record doing so. If you want to make a tax-deductible donation, you can do so today at adflegal.org/Steve. That's ADF for Alliance Defending Freedom, adflegal.org/Steve. I have to share this because it's right on the heels, Todd, of what you were just talking about. And I don't even know what to say, okay? I mean, at this point, Ron DeSantis is a freaking superhero, man, okay? So the whole thing yesterday with the Tampa Bay Rays, where he took $35 million in tax breaks and credits away from them because they decided to virtue signal on the Second Amendment, that was like, whoa. How about this? The state of Florida threatened the Special Olympics with $28 million in fines because the organization had a jab requirement at its games in Orlando this weekend. Late yesterday, the Special Olympics pulled the requirement.
This is how we do.
I mean, this is what we were just this is what we were just discussing.
What?
None of this ends until the men step forward. The men step forward. The men step forward and make it end. And do not accept. We're like Klingons. We don't accept prisoners. It's unconditional surrender. No, there's no middle ground between you getting to experiment. We've got a history of seeing how in the past science has loved to experiment on the kinds of people that participate in things like the Special Olympics, right? And no, we don't find it special. We find it, frankly, abhorrent. And as we do your jab mandate, and so we're going to fine the excrement out of you. And we're not going to stop until you say quit. And that's when it's over. Those are our terms. Our terms are we win, you lose, thank you. Those are the terms.
Yes, and something you tweeted yesterday as well needs to be underscored, and we've talked about it before. Ron DeSantis is a perfect example. Most Republican governors, take Greg Abbott in Texas, they just want to find consensus and then govern. It's not really governing. Govern based on consensus. Guys like Ron DeSantis are bold, and they create consensus,
yes,
by means of their boldness and actual effectual governance. That's such an important thing to understand.
Yeah.
And you look at the numbers in Florida of voter registration, that's all the proof you need.
I mean, you look at his candidate, the Democrat candidates can't raise any money because no one wants to just flush it down the toilet because they know they have no shot. He has not, as Aaron pointed out, he has not governed by polling. He has changed the polling by governing. Let's get to issue three as we welcome Jill Savage back into the conversation for the Dace Group. Is anyone accountable for anything these days?
The police chief of the city of Uvalde, Texas, was quietly sworn in this week as a member of the city council, just a week after his department apparently botched a confrontation with a school shooter, which ended up with 19 dead children and 2 dead adults. Also this week, a jury in Washington, D.C. found former Hillary Clinton advisor and campaign lawyer Michael Sussman not guilty of lying to the FBI after he admitted that he, with the expressed approval of Hillary Clinton, planted phony stories about now non-existent connections between Donald Trump and a Russian bank. This week as well, the Department of Justice announced they are not going to bring charges against 2 former FBI agents who all but botched reports and allegations of sexual assault against former USA Gymnastics doctor Larry Nassar. Another week, another slew of people who should be in prison getting away scot-free in America.
That doesn't even count Newsmax booking Deborah Birx, who should have been doing that remotely from a prison cell. So just to recap this, okay, so we have the Uvalde police chief, just in case you missed it, sworn in as a city councilman this week, Could they at least have, you know, let the bodies cool before they pull that one off? You have the Sussman getting vindicated by a Democrat activist DC jury, where one of the jurors literally said, as they were assembling the jury, "Hey, I'm a Democrat activist. I'm not sure I can be all that objective here." Made it on the jury after saying that. All right, that happened. Okay. And then you have the Department of Justice deciding not to punish the very FBI agents who could have done something to stop arguably the worst sex offender in American history, Larry Nassar. And that all just happened this week. What was the most egregious miscarriage of justice here? Or was there something else? Jill, we'll go to you.
When you look at the police chief in town, I understand he's going to have friends. You're going to have known him for a really long time. So that on a local level, I'll put that aside because they actually know him. With Sussman, we've learned that if you're Clinton or Clinton adjacent, you will not be punished in this country. Clinton, we have learned this adjacent for decades. The lowest hanging fruit there is the FBI agents and Larry Nassar, because it's the theme of this show. Children were harmed here. Children are forced to be treated by a doctor who abused them at their training facility, alone in their hotel rooms when they were at meets. This one is so easy that if we can't, as a society, punish FBI agents, because if you're looking out there and any of us were these agents and we knew and we said, "Hey, oh, you know, this guy, Bill, this agent, Bill, he knew about it." We're all talking and we're all wondering, why the hell isn't Bill being punished, mm-hmm. right? Like, this is a problem. And this week we hear all about the gun legislation. You're either for kids or you're for guns. This one is much, much easier because everybody should be for kids and against sex offenders. Hmm.
And just to reset, when we talked about this earlier this week, gentlemen, in any other era prior to this one, if there was this level of a systemic slip through of a fiend at the level of Larry Nassar, the system would have leapt to find a couple of underlings who might not have even been guilty just to offer up some sacrificial lamb in order to satiate the public outcry, right? And get ahead of it. And we found the guys, I let this thing go, and we're going to punish them. And look, we're going to do this live on radio or TV as you're going to see how they get a chance to find out what it looks like underneath the bottom of the back of a bus, right? That's how this would have worked in the past. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, you're good, man. And make sure, keep that retirement going. You've got a nice retirement fund from the government. You got that coming to you, and we'll just drop this on the Friday before Memorial Day when no one's paying attention and nothing to see here.
Of course, there's no accountability because we are post-accountability and now simply in the realm of narrative. I've said this before. Why accountability demands some level of shared truth at some point, and Matt Walsh pointed it out. It's not there on the most fundamental levels. And here's where you actually have to you understand and respect your enemy. Why would they, in their chaos-inducing world, God-hating world, why would they care about accountability in any real way? I mean, if it happens to benefit them, but that's not really accountability. Again, that's narrative. That's power. Accountability is a shared understanding of justice. They're liars. They're cheaters. They're of the devil. There can't be any such thing as it doesn't make any sense to them. Why would they seek it? Again, understand that.
And that is not pagan. That's demonic. In a pagan society, if you failed the system to that degree, dude, these are Sophocles plays. We all read them in AP English growing up. Yeah. Everybody drinks hemlock in shame at the end.
Yes.
For shame, I've shamed my family, my legacy, my forefathers, my ancestors, the idols of my ancestors on the mantle.
Yes.
I've shamed my family brand. We all take the hemlock at the end of the Sophocles play. But that, we know that that's how pagan systems operate. There's at least some misguided form of honor there. This is demonic. It is not pagan. It is demonic, what you just described. Aaron.
So I think Jill's answer is correct, and here's the case for the Sussman the Sussman verdict as well. Guys, this was used, this story was used, planted in the media with the expressed consent of Hillary Clinton in order to shape a narrative framing an innocent person for treason. That's correct. Essentially what we're talking about.
Yes,
here.
Yes. Yeah.
We only can get to the environment, justice or otherwise, culturally or otherwise, politically or otherwise, we can only get to the environment where that thing is gone, goes unpunished, whether it's Hillary Clinton or anywhere else, that thing sees the light of day at all. We only get to that environment when we care nothing about, as Jill was talking about, you know, justice for children who were abused. These seeds, it's like the contagion that Ra's al Ghul's people dumps into the water supply. Just in the water supply, can't really see it, can't really taste the effects, can't really see the effects, but it's in the water supply. All it takes is one giant microwave to release it all, and we're seeing that, especially the last couple of years, we're seeing that. COVID turned on that, whatever the machine was, the microwave that turned the contagion into gas, and we're seeing that everywhere now. And that is, you know, you can make a case for the Sussman and the Nassar thing, but I think at the end of the day, we only get to the environment where stories like framing somebody for treason get into place and are even seeing the light of day by not getting first things first.
Exit question. Between Debbie Birx and Anthony Fauci, which do you believe is the most deserving of capital punishment? And maybe you think neither is. Todd.
Fauci.
Aaron.
Yes.
Jill.
Fauci.
So here's this week's kicker question, and it's a doozy. All right. For $15 million, would you let Amber Heard drop a deuce in your bed? Aaron.
Question is more like a deucey, am I right, Steve? No.
No. Okay.
Absolutely not.
Jill?
Hell yeah.
Yes. In fact, I was going to say no because I'd do it for a lot. I'd let her do it for a lot less than that.
I could buy a new bed for $15 million.
No doubt.
I could pay, you know, whoever I wanted to come take that thing away. I would never have to see it.
Exactly.
I don't have to go through the trial and everything else that Johnny Depp did. I mean, guys, inflation is bad out there.
I hear you.
$15. Hello.
That buys how much air freshener and antibacterial wipes does $15 million buy? All of them. All of it.
How many new homes?
It empties the supply chain. That's what it does.
See, this is,
okay.
I firmly believe in my answer, but we're in a no-win situation. For guys on here, Jill said, if we say, oh, yeah, you're disgusting, you're a pig, and then
she did have you cornered getting to speak last.
Now
that's
we
true.
We all say no during the show.
You try to take the high road.
Oh, hell yeah, yes, the money's mine.
That's true. If you give the typical crude guy answer, she might turn that around on you. She's got you cornered. You were right. You were
chicks,
on the button,
man.
As we like to say at the poker
chicks,
table.
Man.
You were out of position on that one. Yes, indeed. Let's get to predictions. Todd, go.
I was thinking about this week. Here's what vaccination is going to be going down on all fronts, not just COVID. But here's the play that's going to be happening. You know, it's true. It's going to be going down. And in order to increase everybody's desire to get vaxxed or else, what they're going to do is they're going to release measles, mumps, rubella, common one. And we all know who they are. They're going to release it in and then blame the so-called anti-vaxxers. And it's going to be just as dystopian as you think it's going to be.
So Nero still blames the Christians
yes,
for the fire
exactly.
that he started?
That's yes. going to happen.
All right. Jill, what's your prediction?
It's not my prediction, first of all, but if Paul Alexander could somehow morph into a Ron DeSantis, then maybe he would have a shot.
So you're saying there's a chance. Okay. All right.
My prediction, though, is that I will be seeing all of you at the Family Leadership Summit.
Oh, cool. Nice.
July 15th.
The rumor is you may get the first look at a certain movie that day, 42 days from today. That is the rumor. I can neither confirm nor deny that rumor, but it is percolating as we speak. So it'll be good to see you. Aaron.
Gentlemen and lady. 62 days from today is August 4th. Do we know what happens on August 4th?
Aaron's beloved Hall of Fame game?
Yes, the yes. Jacksonville Jaguars. I always make this prediction around this time of the year, so the Jacksonville Jaguars will prevail over their Oakland Raiders in a very hard-fought Hall of Fame game, 20-13.
So I was going to make a snarky prediction that there will be another Top Gun movie with the massive success now of Maverick, and it will Paramount will use the young pilots that are introduced, the new Top Gun class, to kind of launch a new franchise. Now, this one doesn't name what the enemy is because, you know, it could be 75 countries. But in the next, I was going to make the prediction that in the next Top Gun, the enemy will be named and it'll be called Top Gun Red State. That was going to be my prediction. Okay. But I've decided I'm going to change it up. The whole Leah Thomas, my prediction is that the entire Leah Thomas charm offensive that went down this week is to groom you to accept men replacing actual women on the next U.S. Olympic team. That's what it's about. That you are being groomed to say nothing and show no level of offense whatsoever and rally around the flag. As you watch more bearded ladies and beings with Adam apples and square jaws and broad shoulders replace women on the Olympic team. That's what I think the entire Leah Thomas charm offensive will prove to be about. Any thoughts on that in the minute we have left?
I hate you, and of course you're correct.
Jill, you have any thoughts on that as a sports person here?
We've already seen a man with the weightlifting competing as a woman. So we've seen it once. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to see it on a larger scale.
Mm-hmm. We got some breaking news.
We do. What do you got?
Paul Alexander just texted me, quote, exclamation mark, 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 end quote.
Jill, what if he identifies as Ron DeSantis? Is that all right? Will that work?
It's going to be pretty difficult here.
All right.
I think she's more of a $15 million kind of gal.
Well, Paul, she gave you a standard to shoot for. All right. At least there's something definable on the table, brother. Joe, good to see you as always. All right. Take care.
You too. I bet you never thought your show would turn into The Bachelor.
No, or The Love Connection. We'll be back in 2 and 2, actually, with Feedback Friday. Stay tuned. And we're back with Hour 2, live and on demand here on Blaze TV Radio and Podcast. Steve Dace here with Todd Erzin, Aaron McIntyre, all of you. Don't forget that you can let us know what you think about what we think by emailing the show, steve@stevedace.com. We'll get to some of your emails here in just a few moments. You can also like us on Facebook, MeWe, Parler, and Gab. You can also look for me at Steve Dace Show. Follow me there on Twitter, Getter, also over at TikTok and Instagram as well. And then you can also find me on Truth Social at Real Steve Dace over on Truth Social. And then you'll find clips of the show that are free to watch and also free of any big tech censorship when you watch them at rumble.com/Steve Dace Show as well. And that is the last name, DEACE. For those of you that are podcast listeners, we have seen our podcast ranking soar this week. I'm not sure why. Have we done something special or different that you can think of?
Nope.
Or did everybody else that was ahead of us just suck this week, maybe?
Let's go with that.
Okay. But our podcast ranking on iTunes is just like soared this week. So whatever you're doing, maybe it's those 5-star reviews, please keep those coming. We appreciate all of them. Hit like or subscribe, depending on which applies on where you choose to get the podcast from. Thank you to all of you that have done those things for us already. And please, if you've yet to do so, consider, because apparently it helps the show when you do that quite a bit. This part of the show brought to you by our friends over at Taiga Coolers, of course. It's kind of the unofficial start of summer now that we're post-Memorial Day. Summer officially is just about 2-3 weeks away. A great time for you to get a brand new cooler for the time that you're going to spend increasingly outdoors and out in the sun from the veteran-owned cooler company with everything made right here in the USA, employing actual Americans. It's called Taiga Coolers, and their coolers are phenomenal. They've done custom lids and custom coolers for the three of us. They can do just about anything that doesn't violate a copyright law for you, or they'll just give you a regular cooler as well that is also top-notch and first-class. If you want one of these, or you want to give one of these for a gift, maybe to a loved one or a client, enter the promo code Steve at checkout for 10% off when you go to taigacoolers.com. That's T-A-I-G-A. T-A-I-G-A for taigacoolers.com. 10% off with the promo code Steve at checkout, and they all come with a lifetime a limited lifetime warranty. So keep that in mind as well. All right, let's get to some Feedback Friday. You guys ready to go?
Sure.
All right.
Let's go.
I want to begin with a couple of things that are sitting actually in the inbox that just came in the last couple of days, because I think they're pertinent and timely. So I want to address them before I go to what I had originally lined up. I'm a Tulsa police officer, and I responded to the Tulsa active shooting on June the 1st. I wasn't part of the first wave that went in, but of course, I'm extremely proud of those guys that did. As I'm sure you're aware, the shooting is already being memory-holed for a few reasons, one of which being that the shooter is black. I still thought there might be more coverage because the shooter bought one of the guns he used about 2 hours before the shooting. But I still think they don't want to focus on this shooting too much because of the big pharma concerns. The shooter's stated motive was that he was unhappy with his back surgery and the pain that he was in afterwards. I think just like with the jab injured, they are ignored or shouted down. The medications this suspect were on will likely cause his case to be ignored as well. Interesting. If I find out any info about it, I'll try to let you guys know, because I think you, your show, and Daniel might be interested if harmful medications are being used and there's no accountability. Thanks for all you guys do to help people stay healthy and alive. Jason Angel, police officer, Tulsa Police Department. What do you think about that angle, that Officer Angel, that he posited there, that it's not just his race? Because we saw that. Guys, again, there is, unfortunately, because our culture's coming apart at the seams, there are ample things they could be mining for content over there, but they're choosing not to. I mean, it was just a few weeks ago that a black supremacist went into the subway system of the largest city in America and just started opening fire. And it's like that never even happened. I mean, and then, you know, you might as well have called the New York City subway Waukesha at this point, okay? So I do agree with the officer, because we've seen this MO, that if the race doesn't play out, then it just gets automatically memory hold. But he presented a second angle here, and that if you look at the kinds of drugs that he was on, probably for the pain meds, and they didn't work, they don't want that out there either, because everybody is essentially, you know, we're the United States of Pfizer now. Any thoughts on that?
I think he's absolutely right. Listen, one of the most popular literary genres and television in the 80s and 90s, and, you know, cops, things like that. Mm-hmm. True crime.
Yeah.
People loved it. And you didn't have to, things weren't parsed like this Tulsa police officer is talking about. That's how he knows he's true. People came from all different backgrounds, black, white. It was just like, get into the nitty gritty of the motivations and how bizarre they may have been. But now that's going the way of the dodo, because The crime, the grisly crime, is like space bar, space bar, space bar down on the list of what they care about. It's the narrative. That's what's fundamentally at stake here. So you know it's true. And people have talked about all the time when this, people just instantly holding their breath until they find out who the serial killer is in this case. Are they black? Are they white? Because it's not enough that somebody an innocent person was snuffed out. That's just a moot point to them. They don't care. They really, to the point that this is how you know that this is demonic. These are the kind of human sacrifices required. I think we even need to start thinking about, Steve, because why you always used to talk about the Fred Phelps, and how you think like this is, it's
okay. He was a plant. He's too good of a villain. Yeah.
I think the murders themselves in a demonic culture, I think they're often going to be plants. They're going to be done for the purpose of the narrative.
Or
that
prompted,
they want.
Spiritually provoked, prompted. Correct. In yes. order to further a spirit of the age.
Yes.
Narrative.
Like the Joker manipulating the insane in The Dark
like
Knight.
Like Ari says in Wonder Woman, I just whisper things in their ear and they take it from there.
Yes.
I didn't do anything.
Right.
They acted on their own compulsions. Of course, compulsions that I inspired, correct, but they still had to choose to act on them, right?
Yes.
This is from, now we're going to talk about the a couple of notes. I got a ton of notes, by the way, on people that pushed back on the Culvers in Warrensburg, Missouri, who, Aaron, you featured in your montage this week, because they were sponsoring a drag queen story time hour in small town Missouri. I got a ton of notes from people who pushed back on Culver's for this. All right, I want to share a couple of them with you. I came to the Blaze for Crowder, ended up sticking around for you guys' snark and vinegar. One of these days, I need to thank Stephen Crowder for the amount of people he has indirectly introduced to our program. I think he has helped us get the wrong Steve gets credit here. Crowder is the one that has generated more people coming to this show than I have. I mean, the amount of people who came for Crowder and then were looking for other things on the network to watch and ended up finding us. I mean, we've been hearing this going back to the CRTV days before even the Blaze merger. I'd say we owe him a finder's fee, but I'm pretty confident he's making substantially more money than we are. So I think he's doing okay. So maybe I'll just send him a cookie bouquet or a thank you note. All right. Anyway, I was surprised to hear about my little hometown in your opening segment the other day. I was excited and then disappointed. I want to let you know that afterward, I checked in with some of my contacts. They've already started calling the companies supporting the Pride Fest here in town to make them aware of what they are supporting. Many are pulling money from the banks and support from other organizations. We are a small town, but for 9 months out of the year, we are inundated with college students and professors that try to impose their woke agenda on this small country town, but we are fighting back. There are also a few large, strong churches with some fiery pastors that won't stand for this corruption of their children either. So there you go. Okay. And then I wanted to share this one too. My husband and I are subscribers to Blaze TV. We watch you guys' show together every night. We own 5 Culver's restaurants here in the Midwest. So imagine our surprise and absolute horror to see what you guys had on your show the other day. Please let me assure you that this is not a reflection of all the Culvers. My husband and I absolutely reject this indoctrination and grooming, and I have reached out to our corporate office because I too have questions that I would like to have answered. That's from Kim Straczynski, who wrote that note. So this is what we mean. Last year it was the answer is us. This year it was let's find out. Doesn't mean, by the way, we're always going to get the answer we want. Is that right. I'm not Benny Hinning you here, okay? I'm not Creflo Dollaring you here. I'm not promising you because you did something righteous with a righteous instinct and motivation, you will always get a righteous result. Do we not still live in a fallen world?
Of course.
Of course, okay? Did we still string Jesus up on a cross?
Yes,
okay. But here's what I am guaranteeing you. I'm guaranteeing you this. You have no shot to get a righteous result without acting on your righteous motivations and righteous instincts. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
On that, I can guarantee you that. I can't guarantee that it's always going to go your way, Lenny Kravitz. I can't guarantee you that, okay? But I can guarantee you that it never will if we never do this. I can abso-friggin-lutely guarantee you that one. So I got tons of emails from people from that community or know people from that community that, hey, we're calling, we're checking on this right now. It's the first we've heard of it. So I wanted to make sure that we honored that today and said thank you. And so I picked out just a couple, but I got a ton. I was very happy with that response and reaction. So thank you. All right, let's continue. This one will not be as encouraging, however. I sat with my son-in-law at church this morning. I casually asked him where his wife, my daughter, was. He timidly replied that she and my granddaughter were at an event. My granddaughter, by the way, is a high school senior, and my daughter is a teacher at a local parochial school. Keep that part in mind as I finish this. Earlier this afternoon, I was perusing my Facebook page when I saw a post from my daughter with pictures describing a drag brunch she and my granddaughter attended that morning at a local eatery. Yes, this took place on a Sunday morning. While most of us were in church worshiping Almighty God, it is crippling to suddenly realize that the spirit of the age has struck so close to home. The wind has been knocked out of me. I am visibly shaken by this. To make matters worse, on a personal level, I will be sitting with my daughter and her family soon, watching my granddaughter graduate high school. It will be a struggle to hold myself together. I'm reminded of your observation that either we're about to enter a second dark age or we have come to the end times. Today, frankly, I'm praying it is the latter. Signed, a disappointed grandma.
If you're really disappointed, don't go to that graduation ceremony. It's going to hurt. It's going to suck. But you got to do what you can to open up eyes that are being welded shut as we speak. Don't just go on with business. You can't. You can't. You have to do something. Hmm.
There's going to be, you know, there's the passage, whoever doesn't hate his father and mother can't follow me. Jesus talking about the point of what is your commitment level? What is your level of commitment? What is the level of commitment that is required to be a follower of Christ? A lot of us, and I say not you, a lot of us, because we're going to be challenged the same way on this show, on this network, those who are followers of Christ, and you in the audience, all of us are going to have that tested. What is our level of commitment? Is it greater than the level of our shiny objects, our shiny idols? Is it equal to? Because equal to is not going to be enough. We're all going to find out. The funny thing about let's find out is that it works both ways, both offensively and passively. We can find out a lot about ourselves by what we don't do and the areas that we're not going to go to. Don't let the let's find out moniker mantra be the latter. Always play offense. Always be able along the lines of what Todd was just saying, test where you're willing to go with that. May not always be the right answer to cut off or to cut off relationships. Sometimes that's what it's going to require to get people's attention.
Before we move on with Feedback Friday, you know, you got 360 spots from your neck down to your feet called joints. And these are critical for function and flexibility. But as we get older, they can also become unfortunate hubs for inflammation, which is why when you try to function, you try to be mobile, you get that achiness, that stiffness, that soreness that just lingers and won't let go. Often that is because of too much inflammation, which is why you are looking for an all-natural anti-inflammatory like Omega XL, backed by going on a third decade of clinical research and the last 3 years now of me using it on a daily basis. I can personally attest to how good of a product Omega XL is. Everywhere I travel, I make sure to take it with me. Not a day goes by that I don't use it, and I've seen tremendous results. I'd recommend you give it a shot as well, especially when they're giving you a great deal to give it a shot. Buy one, get one free when you go to omegaxl.com/Steve. That's buy one, get one free when you go to omegaxl.com/Steve, or you can give them a call at 800-844-4888, 800-844-4888. This notice from Dory, she says, I fear we are being played by begging the state to put a police officer between us and our children. After what's happened the last 2 years, how can we possibly think that's a good idea? We don't need another level of government between us and our kids. In Texas, on that horrible day, the police officers detained the people who pay their salaries while the kids were the ones being shot at, or while their kids were being shot at. Think about that for a second. This is Patriot Act 2.0 kind of stuff. It will be turned against you, and now you have an armed officer between you and your children on a daily basis. Sorry, we are hosting a vaccination clinic today. No visitors allowed, etc. Sorry, we're having a drag queen storytelling today. No visitors allowed, etc. This is not the solution. We are being played. P.S. You guys are one of the only people I listen to who makes any sort of sense these days. I hope you'll read this and help conservatives see the blind spot with their take on this issue, because we can't fix a spiritual problem with a political solution. So we did an overtime discussion about this yesterday, because our friends at Trafalgar, probably the best, most accurate pollster in America right now, did a poll that found a solid majority of Americans, I think it was 57% or something around there. And the numbers actually go up the younger you go. It was actually young adults in their 20s that were the most in favor. They were over 60% of arming school officials or teachers. Not quite the same thing as putting the police there, but having some armed presence there. And we looked at it from the perspective in the overtime of, are we really eager after seeing these libs of TikTok threads all day long and every single day, and everything that guys like Christopher Rufo and Corey DeAngelis are exposing right now, are we really sure we want to give the teacher union reps guns, right? At what point, and we even use these examples. I mean, at what point do they say, no, you, there's no visitors today? We even used some of the examples that you talked about here, Dory. So I think the conclusion we came to yesterday, that if it was some kind of local, like a neighborhood watch of the schools, where the local dads were getting together and doing it, okay? And they clearly had formal training, weapons training, self-defense training. At least if there's an issue, you can go directly to them, okay? But we also had reservations about having anybody with any official connection to government doing this. And just speaking for myself, I don't like that. Because I kind of feel helpless. Because it feels as if we know we can't trust the entities that we formed. You know, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, right? We formed this union. We formed these entities like police and military. We formed them for our benefit. And now we are, I think, prudently resistant to deploying them on any level because we've watched them be deployed against us. We watched Dallas cops during COVID lockdowns walk into a salon and take out the 140-pound salon owner and put her on trial, right? We saw that.
Yes.
But we couldn't see how many officers walk in and detain one young man with a weapon for 75 minutes last week. So we are prudently resistant to deploying any of these institutions because they all are either under target for corruption by the spirit of the age or already corrupted to the point they'll just be turned on us. I mean, there was a breaking news story within the last hour. Peter Navarro, who we've had on this show, just was indicted by the Biden Department of Justice for what? I have no idea for what. For being Trump adjacent, to paraphrase the term that Jill Savage used last hour for Clinton adjacent. So, hey, you look the other way while Larry Nassar destroys the lives of how many women and probably the families that will be impacted that they'll go on to be involved in as adults, right? No one's accountable for that. Peter Navarro, indicted. Dory, I think you're right to a certain level. So what do you do? What do you do when you don't trust the institutions that are supposed to handle these things to not manhandle you instead, but then you aren't specifically empowered to step into that breach yourself? What do you do? And I think that this is something we're going to have to wrestle with quite a bit here in the time going forward because these institutions aren't turning around anytime soon. Todd, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I get increasingly, especially after the examples during COVID that Steve mentioned, but even before COVID came along, I told you because of my own circumstances with the police, like you don't constantly give this thin blue line pass no matter what. No matter what, to the arm of, and you're normally a small government, stay out of my life kind of person. You don't give that pass to the branch of the government with the sticks and the guns. See, we've just been and so, yeah, that institution has been rotted out in many ways, just like any place else. Listen, that's being a cop in many respects for a lot of these guys, it's not a duty, it's a lifestyle choice. Just like I said before, it's not being a man is not a leisure pursuit, but we've convinced ourselves that that is, and why now men on sitcoms are just a punchline. I don't are get better men, period, and we won't have this problem systemically. If we don't do that, pick it, schools, cops, just go down the line. It's going to be stupid, because stupid is what you asked for.
Stupid sounds like that might be the better option of where I think it could potentially go. But sure. What do you think, Aaron?
No, the resistance to these legacy institutions increasing on the part of those who would identify or once identified as conservative. I think that is a good thing because it shows that we're waking up and that we collectively know what time it is. But at the same time as well, we are witnessing, a la the topic about who's held accountable, basically nobody, unless your name is Michael Avenatti, who was just sentenced to an additional 4 years this week. But we say we want limited government, not no government. The problem that we have right now, we have actually limited government. We do. We really do. We have limited government when it comes to our borders. We have limited government when it comes to, arresting the
agents. It's limited to one particular agenda.
Yeah.
Well
said. So that's kind of the crux, and I think that's why we're seeing a lot of people resistant to any dependence on those legacy institutions you talk about.
Laura Thompson writes, this week I had my first real political dilemma. I got in a heated discussion with a friend and neighbor, and I had to leave when things got too heated. I excused myself because I just could not do it anymore. I was crying and apologizing as I left. I am now getting in real live fights with close friends about politics, which has never happened, and it's very upsetting. How does one navigate when trying to discuss politics in a very non-political way? However, the two sides differ greatly in every way. I've been trying to discuss the issues without involving Trump or party lines, just discussing the issues without being attacked and without attacking, without calling names. And yet they always end up bringing Trump into the arena. Don't cast pearls before swine. Kick the dust off your sandals and move on to the next town. Who said those things? Jesus, Mr. Nice Guy.
I have no problem with Jesus. It's his followers that I don't like.
Yeah. He said those things. Arms opened wide on a cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's the one that said those things. We don't have to be nicer and more patient than God. Nor should we actually try. And speaking of my own temperament, because it can get a little worked up, fair, yeah. And get a little fiery. I've wondered sometimes if it wasn't just that Jesus said those things to his followers about lost causes, that the other side, you're just here to present the message, and when it's clear it's not going anywhere, you are under no obligation to continue to beat your head against a wall. There is no 11th commandment, thou must beat thy head against a brick wall. That doesn't exist. But we often take that to mean that, and we only take that to only have one meaning, I mean, which is, okay, well, they reject the message, they've judged themselves, so we move on. I wonder sometimes if it has another meaning. That this also prevents us from becoming the very people that we, strive to not be. To recognize, oh, okay, it's just not happening. So nothing personal. Okay, cool. I don't need to bring this stuff up anymore. I love my neighbor as I love myself, you know, in other contexts. And hey, I like what you did with your lawn. Oh, dude, cool Halloween decorations. You know what I'm saying? Oh, your kid's graduating. You're having a party. Congratulations on that. I don't need to engage. Because it's just not happening. You're a lost cause. You've declared yourself to be lost. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. So, move on. If it gets to the point, now, if we lack self-control, and getting worked up and fiery about things of fiery furnaces is not losing self-control, okay? Meaning, you are doing things that start undermining your own message. That's what it means by losing control. That's not we always approach these things from the perspective of temperament because we've been so worked over by Western niceties.
I know.
That's not what it means. Okay. Self-control doesn't mean it can mean that. Can it mean that?
Yeah.
But is that, we always act as if that's all that it means.
Right.
No, it doesn't mean that exclusively. where I'm now the berator. I'm now imposing on you. I'm now the coercive force, even if it's a nice. Karen's really nice. I brought the authorities to your home, and I just felt really bad about what you were teaching your kids, and I thought you might just want to hear what the authorities have to say. Sounds nice, right? Yep. Really polite. It's not a temperament. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. Meaning you have lost control of yourself. You are undermining now your testimony as a human. That's what it means. So, if it gets to that point, kick the dust off your sandals, sister, and just move on. You're not under no obligation for perpetual engagement. No obligation exists. Does not exist. Present a message if they don't want to hear. Yeah. Move on.
You also seem surprised by this, but as a viewer of our show, we tell you on a regular basis that Sodom and Gomorrah is anywhere. Why are you surprised that you're not getting kindness and courtesy from Sodom and Gomorrah? You need to go into these conversations with your eyes wide open. Now, there is no excuse.
And by the way, by letting it go and just dealing with them on other levels as a human and loving your neighbor as you love yourself, you actually might open the door for these conversations to come back up again later. Oh, okay. Maybe I questioned your motivations, that you just kind of wanted to get over on me and make me like you. Maybe. Okay. All right. Well, maybe you see what I'm saying? You mm-hmm. might build a credibility and a rapport in other areas. Okay. We'll come back with more of Feedback Friday in a moment. All right. So every once in a while, not often, but every once in a while, I will get a note from someone who says, all right, man, I bit the bullet and I tried Built Bars and it tasted great, like you said, but I don't mean to be soft or picky, but they're too chewy. Okay, I just don't want to have to chew something that much. I've don't laugh.
Okay, this is like me saying Daredevil, the punching is too loud.
Yeah, now, they are chewy, guys. I mean, one of the reasons why is because, I mean, they're loaded. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you went to McDonald's and you got a double quarter pounder, it would be, and then you order just a regular cheeseburger, one would be much chewier than the other, right? Okay, but I get it. Okay, that's why if that's you, all right, try their Built Bar Puffs line. All right, that's the marshmallow line. They've got some cool flavors, banana cream pie, churro. They don't even have a churro flavor for the Built Bars themselves. So if you love churros, they've got a Built Bar Puff churro. The brownie batter, they don't have those as a flavor for the bars. You have to get that as a puff. That is very high on my power rating list. So try the Built Bar Puffs. Those might be more your speed, all right, because they're marshmallowy goodness, and so they're not nearly as chewy, but they taste every bit as phenomenal, and they're loaded with all the same grams of protein that you're looking for, covered in real chocolate, and they don't have the carbs, the calories, or sugars that the regular Built Bars don't have either. All right, and you can use my last name, Dace, as your promo code, 10% off, when you go to built.com, B-U-I-L-T for built.com. That's the website for Built Bar. 10% off with the promo code Dace at built.com. All right, let's continue on with some Feedback Friday. Mark writes, how does a normal person navigate this crazy world? I am an actuary. That's first, let me stop right there. That's part of your problem. Okay. Because you live and embrace a world of constants. Things are definable, right? Numbers are constant. Formulas are what they are. Outcomes are what they are. That is the world in which you live. And I get this because I love that world. I love certainty. And in a demonic age, in a pagan age, we're just debating certainty. What is certain and what is not? In a demonic age, it's Matt Walsh's movie, Do Chickens Cry? Why do you need to know the truth? Why would you care? What is certainty? What is it?
If you go down this road.
Yes.
Grief.
So right away, Mark, you need to know that your own nature and what you're good at and what you like is going to put you at odds heavily with the times in which you live. You're starting from a handicap, brother. You're behind in the race from the start, but I'll finish your note. All right. I consider myself to be scientific in my approach to work. Again, that's your problem. Science, what is it? All right. All right. We're kidding, but we are also serious. I've been accused by family members, some who are healthcare workers, of not believing in science. But in my view, science is about asking questions and performing analysis to confirm or contradict a hypothesis. Now, Mark, you're just adorable. Okay. My frustration. You don't say, Mark. You don't say. My frustration. I mean, this is what, dude, Robert Malone went from I proudly voted for Obama twice. After, in between inventing mRNA technology too, I'm now posting anti-trans memes on my Substack. Did you guys see the political cartoon from him that I posted this morning? Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
How did Robert Malone go from I voted for Obama twice to I'm now posting anti-trans memes and political cartoons that Steve Dace thought, should I actually post this on Twitter this morning? How did Robert Malone get there? Because he too is a man of science and data and thought this was about testable and provable and confirmed hypotheses and found out it's not about any of those things. My frustration over the past 2 years is that there's not adequate information being provided that would allow for reliable analysis. No, and that is on purpose. It's not a bug. It's a feature. That's on purpose. They don't want anything tested. They just want it complied with. They just want it obeyed. I consider the most important aspect of science to be asking the right question and designing experiments and analysis that includes controlled comparisons of results. But what I find in the CDC data are answers to questions that sound good, but then do not include the appropriate scientific controls. You don't say. For example, the CDC associated data with excess mortality shows results from the end of 2019 through January 2022, and their analysis concludes that excess COVID-related deaths are highly correlated with not being vaccinated. However, well over half of these COVID-related deaths being counted in their analysis occurred before the vaccines were widely available. COVID deaths peaked in January of 2021, while vaccination dosages didn't peak for 3 more months. When someone claims they are being scientific but do not perform analysis scientifically, you have to assume that they are hiding something. Welcome to my nightmare, Mark. Welcome to the nightmare that began with asking a simple question. Pardon me. I have a question, if you guys don't mind. How do we flatten a curve if we don't know when it began? I thought this was an innocent question at the time. Those were simpler days. I thought we were just all really just overreacting in a panic. Gosh. I'd kill to still believe that. We had so much hope. April, May of 2020, when more and more of the data came in. Oh, guys, this is going to be over. Those were the days. Remember those salad days? Of believing that data would actually, once it became known and went public, that there would be the proper reaction to it, and people would be pleased to know it's not as bad as they had feared.
I was just the quirky anti-vaxxer down here at the end, and now it's a look in the mirror when you look over here.
I was just the plucky data guy, and now I'm looking at Todd. I'm like, there's that meme where the other woman walks by and he looks over his shoulder. Yeah, anti-vaxxers. I'm like,
yes.
All right, I'm free. Let's at least grab a drink. I'm listening. Okay. That was adorable, Mark. We needed that, brother. Well said. I mean, everything you said was true, but as the professor at the University of Tennessee says to Matt Walsh, why do you need to know what's true? Why do you care? Why does it matter to you? Michelle writes, your show has become my favorite since we lost Rush. That's a tremendous compliment that we don't deserve, but thank you. I'm around your age, Steve. I'm an educated white woman. I don't consider myself a suburban woman, but could probably be discerned that way since I live outside of Huntsville. I'm a cradle Catholic that reverted after about 20 years of trying life as a Catholic in name only and then a failed marriage. I voted for Trump the first time around because he said all the right things, and if he did any of them, it would be a win. I'm not tech savvy, and I'm not on Twitter. Although I thought he was doing a miserable job on COVID, I voted for him again because he was really the only choice, in my opinion. Rush spoke multiple times about how the media and others could not separate Trump from his base, that he only believed Trump could do that, and I agree. I'm praying, therefore, that Trump doesn't run. He has separated from us, in my view, in the candidates he's supporting, in his refusal to see the truth about how he was used to help get the clot shots forced on us, and how he let us down by being a passenger instead of the driver of the vehicle during COVID. DeSantis is on fire and on the right track. He's tapped into the truth and he's spreading it all over, which is causing his star to rise. He should not wait and possibly lose that momentum to sit by for Trump to repeat what he did in the first 4 years. I really believe Trump's time has passed, and you guys made the perfect case for DeSantis on your show recently by highlighting what he's done and is still doing in Florida. That is from Michelle. So let me share a few thoughts on this after I remind you one more time that you should absolutely not go in when the world's richest man says, I need to start cutting back because I'm a little concerned about where the economy is headed. Okay? Because that's what Elon Musk said this morning. All right. When the world's richest man is like, when the world's richest man is the Steve Carell office gif, okay, make sure you do not go into the real estate market without an agent you can trust with a fully proven, vetted track record of success, especially in these unprecedented times. Thank you. And where would you find just such an agent? Well, the name kind of says it all, so go there, please. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. If you trust Glenn Beck, and hopefully you do, because he's our patriarch around here. None of us would have this gig without him. All right, so if you trust him, then you should know. This was a business that he and his associates started because they didn't want to run into any more agents they found out too late they could not trust. And so these agents have been fully vetted for their track record of success before they are referred to you. Check it out online right now at realestateagentsitrust.com. So let me answer this way, Michelle's note. And I know some of you are probably like, let's tune in today to see what Steve thinks about Donald Trump. Does Steve know? All right. So let me give you a brief history of time. Dr. Strangelove, or how I learned to kick back, relax, and just enjoy the ride with Donald Trump. So my time with Donald Trump began in 2013 when he came to me. Actually, I, of course, would have no idea how to come to him. He came to me because his political organizer said, hey, here, there's a list of people, if you're serious about running, there's a list of people on the ground in Iowa that you need to get to know. And this guy, Steve Dace, is one of them. We developed a rapport. He would frequently come on this show before you guys came to work here. On one day's notice, I went to try out for a gig doing drive time in New York City. On one day's notice, I got a hold of Donald and he agreed to come on the show, because I thought that would really impress the station owners. And it did, but I still didn't get the gig. He endorsed Rules for Patriots, was even let me write my own endorsement in the most Trump thing ever. His first official appearance as a candidate in Iowa, he gave me an exclusive interview before anybody else in the entire national media. He was going to offer me a job. I then went, after seeing more and more of how his campaign operated, I was, probably me and Jason Miller were two of the staunchest anti-Trump, we have to beat him people on the Cruz campaign, which I find interesting because the only like senior member of the Cruz campaign staff that ended up going to work for Trump, because he tried to hire them all, about the only one that went to work for Trump was actually Jason Miller. I then helped organize on the periphery. I don't want to make it look like I was like on the inside, but I was involved in organizing the Free the Delegates movement at the GOP convention, where Ken Cuccinelli and Mike Lee both spoke on the floor about freeing the delegates to vote their conscience. I don't think I've ever told you guys this publicly, but I'll admit it here because it plays into this conversation. I contributed a portion of the speech that Cruz gave at the convention that year. But it wasn't the part about vote your conscience. I did not contribute that portion. I contributed the portion where he referenced what had happened to the Dallas police officers. Okay? I did not vote for Trump in the general. No, I did not vote for Evan McMuffin. We had him on the show that night, and I think I remember I told you guys that's not happening.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I could smell the skunk right away. I voted Constitution Party. Again, I've done that a lot recently. Let me see. What else? I was convinced he would be a miserable failure, and then the first week he was president, I found myself in the trenches with his people defending him because he was actually already beginning to act on the very immigration stuff that I thought I was convinced he was lying to our base about the entire time. I then thought he gave the best foreign policy speech by a president post 9/11 later that summer in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. And by the time now we get to 2020, I find myself feeling as if I'm now working harder to get him reelected than he was by being way too passive when it came to COVID. You had a front row seat to almost all this. I mean, yes. You came in after my relationship with Trump was already established. But from that point on, you saw everything else. Is that an accurate depiction of this long, strange trip that's been here with me and Donald Trump?
Yes.
All right. So I don't know on a given day what I will think about Donald Trump. So neither should you. But I would say I think it is premature to throw him overboard completely because you don't have a lot of other options, as we've talked about before. And as we saw last week, when he uses his wealth and platform and presence to channel our values, he is a tremendous weapon on our behalf. And I don't know if you guys have noticed recently, we don't have we got a supply chain issue of weapons. Fair?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not saying that, don't get the latest, most developed and technologically advanced weaponry. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I also wouldn't be looking to get rid of the old stuff either, because it's not like all kinds of new weaponry is coming down the assembly line here. I'd be hoarding weapons. Does this make sense?
Yeah. And if I could add as well, I think some of the tangential to this conversation, I think some of the OG Trump supporters get a little defensive when we start saying DeSantis better than Trump, either overtly or draw those lines implicitly. You should not be defensive. That should be a massive compliment, actually. Notice how we're not comparing DeSantis to Lindsey Graham. We're not comparing DeSantis to Elise Stefanik. Trump has become, for better or worse, but it should be a compliment nonetheless. Trump has become the plumb line for offensiveness.
Excellent point. Yes.
That should be a massive compliment. Yeah. So don't get defensive when we draw these sorts of comparisons on.
I'm glad you interjected that point.
Any issue.
That's a vital point. The show where all three of us, none of us voted for him in 2016. We are acknowledging that despite our presuppositions, he did set a new standard that now needs to be exceeded, as Aaron pointed out. Here's what I think about Ron DeSantis. First of all, there would not be a Ron DeSantis probably without Trump. First of all, without Trump changing the environment politically. Secondly, without Trump's endorsement, he barely won the primary, very barely won the general. So if at this point you're just convinced Ron DeSantis is a superhero, and I'm pretty much there, okay, that wouldn't happen without Trump. So that should be acknowledged. But I do believe that Ron DeSantis has become the fulfillment of the hope that people had in Trump, if that makes sense. And that being said, though, Ron DeSantis could get hit by a bus tomorrow, right? Or a month from now, right? So I wouldn't be eager to throw Donald Trump overboard despite all of our frequent convention about him and his histrionics. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Other than that, Michelle, we're kind of feeling you with that note. Everybody have a great weekend. We're back again on Monday. Until then, John 3:17.
This is Steve Dace
on the Blaze Radio Network.